Tonight, I'm so excited because we have Alex Vincent on with us. Chantel!
I know!
Welcome to the Sex and Horror Podcast. I'm author Dicey Brenner. This is
Chantel.
And now, Alex Vincent. I'm super excited. And I know Chantel and I are probably going to fight for time to ask you questions and to talk about all sorts of things. So a little context for people who are listening and watching. We met Alex at the Houston Horror Film Festival last August. And, you know, we're always talking about the Houston Horror Film Festival here. We love those guys. We love the event. Alex was a wonderful guest. He was awesome with the fans. You know how we talk about when the celebs come, if they're great with people or if they're kind of standoffish. Alex was great. He was wonderful. Chantel got his name tattooed on her leg.
I do.
You do?
Yes. Remember, I was a crazy girl who came and asked you to sign a piece of paper so they could trace it on me. I don't know if y'all can see it. I don't know if I'm that flexible.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's kind of there.
You got to hold it up. Hold it. Pull it back behind your head like this.
Girl, I know you ain't. She didn't. No. I am not taking that much collagen. Okay, let me try one more time. There it is.
Oh, a little bit more. A little bit more.
Okay, that's it. I got short little legs. I can't do it.
Handle of the dagger. Okay, for those of you who are just listening and not able to watch, Chantel has on her leg along with the dagger, you know, for Chucky.
Yes.
So if I say
in case you don't know, yes. Chucky is Alex Vincent's big brother. No, I'm just kidding.
He's my friend.
He was your friend till the end.
Is he frozen on your side?
Yes.
Oh.
We should have never brought up Chucky. Chucky cursed us.
Exactly. You said something he didn't like, and there goes my internet.
Oh, no.
Back. Be careful what you say about that fucker.
He was your friend to the end.
He is, evidently.
All right. So I'm going to run off a little bit of things about Alex, give him a proper welcome, set it up so you know exactly who we're talking to tonight. Alex is a writer, he's an actor, and he's very well known for Child's Play. He played Andy Barclay. He's a music producer / sound engineer, and so underneath the umbrella of all that, he has a recording studio called The Loop in Clearwater, Florida. He has a Patreon. Y'all check that out. We're going to put all those links in there. He has a YouTube. He has a store with autographs and merch. Letting Go, collection of poetry. Chantel writes a lot of poetry, too, so y'all have that in common. He has Chucky Talks podcasts, an AV Productions recording studio and production company. I mean, you're just showing out now. Did I miss anything? Oh, I didn't catch that. Did you hear that, Chantel?
No. Better about myself already. I'm teasing.
Oh, he feels better about himself already. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Well, we are here to talk about you and what you have going on, what you have done already, but Chantel, am I talking too much? Do you want to throw something in here now before I move on?
Oh, no. You're good, mama. You know me. I'll jump in.
Okay. Alex, there was one thing that you told me. You said this to me when we were at Houston Horror Film Festival, too. But, you know, when we were on Instagram, you mentioned that people still see you as six. And I wondered, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, most blessings come with curse versa, right? Of course, I mean, you know, I joke about Chucky, my friend, till the end. He was also the start, sort of, right? Years old is a really young age to get involved in that business. So it's been in my life for 35 years. I mean, I came back in 2013 and, you know, was fortunate enough to play Andy as. But yeah, the first two films were indelible and impactful on people. So it's part of how people see me, and that's not going to change.
Yeah. Do you want to see that? Do you want to, you know, like kind of shake that up? You want them to see some of your devilish side now, you know?
I think plenty have. no, listen, I'm a real person. I grew up in North Jersey. I never moved to Hollywood. I never really stayed in the business after age 12. I went back to it. And yeah, I mean, your intro was very kind. I have done a lot of things in my life that are not Chucky. But I also appreciate the fact that it's how a lot of people know me. It's given me an opportunity to, you know, sell books. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do in this world. It's given me the opportunity to open my recording studio, which is celebrating 10 years in business. Next month. Yeah, and I've recorded hundreds of artists. I've published 7 poetry books. I waited for 17 years. I had a real life. So if some people still see me as 6, that's okay.
Were you surprised when the horror movement brought Chucky back in such a big way? Because I feel like this blow up of horror over the last few years, especially since 2020, really brought a resurgence of those old classic horror movies that people loved. And I think if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have seen the series come out. Like, I love the series. It was great. Or it is. I think it's in its last season. I don't know, but it's really good.
Yeah, it's in 3, which the first half of season 3 last year. And then there was the writer's strike, actor's strike, which split the season in 2. The second half of season 3 comes out on April 10th on Sci-Fi and Peacock and USA. You know, horror. Listen, I started going to horror conventions in like 2002. At the time, there were probably 6 in the country. That's changed a great deal since then.
Very much.
So it's not just since 2020 a revival of horror. It's kind of walked its way into the mainstream over the last couple decades.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that, you know, ironically, with your podcast being horror and sex, this is an old thing to say. But at the time, in the 80s, horror was kind of like porn stepsister. You know, it's gained a wider audience and larger respect progressively through my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely saw it blow up probably over the last 20 years in the attraction, the haunted house attraction world.
Sure.
And I mean, it really grew by leaps and bounds. Did you ever do any appearances at any of those?
I have. Yeah. Yeah. I've done several haunted houses in my life. It's a very, very different experience, by the way. When you go to a convention, you know, people know kind of what to expect. They're there to meet people. They're there to see the cool vending, you know, vendors and buy cool stuff and participate in the community of horror films. But sometimes when you go and do an appearance at a haunted house, they don't expect to see me or anyone there. All haunted houses are different. I do remember one once where I was put kind of at the end of the haunted house and everybody had, you know, walked through terrified and everything. And then they move a curtain and I'm sitting there. They're like, what the fuck is this? What are you doing here? But there's plenty of great haunted attractions. And yeah, they are becoming more popular, sure.
Yeah, I love those things. They're so fun. It's just funny to see people freak out.
I'm a little too claustrophobic for some of them.
Yeah, I get that. That's one of the big ones they play on.
The jump scares are fine, and of course I don't have an issue with gore or anything, clearly. But it's those walk through this tight space and hope you make it to the other end stuff that gets me.
Yeah, there's a haunted house here, Creepy Hollow, where they actually touch you, and that's kind of where I draw the line. Like I it's okay if it's over there. It's another thing if it's right up on me. That terrifies me. But you know what I wanted to say about Child's Play. My earliest memory from Child's Play was I was 15, 16, and my next door neighbor, I had a crush on this guy. I hope nobody's watching that.
that knows the details.
From my teen years, but he was my next door neighbor. They were twins. So it was four, mom, dad, and brother, sister, who were twins. And I won't say the name, but he asked me to the movies. He asked me if I wanted to go. So that would have been my first date. But my parents were really strict. And it was like, you know, I remember the movie was starting at 5 o'clock p.m. And there was no way my parents were going to let me go. And I was so upset. I was so sad. Like, I remember, like, really being pissed off that I couldn't go to the movies with this guy. There's no telling how my life would have turned out. But anyway, that was my the first time that I heard of the movie Child's Play. So I didn't watch it then, but I came back and watched it a little bit later. So I'm kind of telling my age there. But what was it like going from Kid Andy 1988 to Andy in the TV show in 2021?
I mean, honestly, for me, my experience is different. So for me, it was really walking back in front of a camera. I mean, that was the big change. Luckily I had, you know, that cameo in Curse of Chucky in 2013 and then Cult of Chucky in 2017. So that kind of walked me back into this character. I got re-familiar with him. The TV series started like 8 years after Curse of Chucky, so I had reacquainted myself with Andy by that point.
I forgot. I didn't mean to say there was a break that long break because you were also which was in 1990. But just, you know, the child element to adult element, I guess, is really.
So yeah, from my perspective, you know, because it's a character regardless, but when you're a kid, when I made Child's Play 1, I was 6, and it was just a fun experience. I went out to Chicago, I went out to California. It was my first really big part. It was horror, and it was about a murderous doll, but really the experience was fun. I mean, it was just like a fun thing to do as a kid. That was part one. Part two was a sequel, and I had known at the time that, you know, the first one had some level of success, and I was a little older, 8 years old, so there was like a little more sense of responsibility for me. I was the lead top billing in that film, and I was in almost every scene, and there was a little bit more responsibility at that point. But I was still a kid having fun at Universal Studios making a fun horror film. When you get older, especially when you had walked away from that business, I mean, I didn't really continue doing drama in high school or anything like that. Like, when I was 12, I pretty much stopped that. I mean, I made sketch comedy stuff with my friends, and I was still an entertainer in my small circles, I guess, at some level. But I wasn't really doing acting. So there's, you know, things like insecurity that you gain through life that became the obstacle in walking back into that, really. Wasn't the character so much. Chucky had been in my life my whole life. So I didn't really get to walk that far away from him, technically. But I did walk away from the business pretty far. So that was the adjustment as an adult.
Well, back in those days, since you're kind of in that area in your mind, did you meet any of the other like younger people? Because they were doing so much horror with young people. Were you meeting any of those folks?
I mean, I had met some people at auditions. I was auditioning in New York City from like age 5 till 12. So any of the New York kids, a lot of them I had been familiar with. I mean, I auditioned for a lot of things, like a lot of the movies that were popular back then. I've told this in many interviews and stuff, but like as a kid, it seemed like a lot of wood was getting all my parts. So I knew, I auditioned for both roles of The Good Son. I auditioned for a few different things that he was in, but a lot of things in that time. So I knew child actors or contemporaries that were actors at that age. But as far as horror, you know, we didn't have a horror book club or anything to get together. But in later in life, you know, those are the human beings that I've become really close with. Not just all the actors that are in horror films that I've done conventions with and traveled all over the world and seen them time and time again, but especially those that were child actors in horror films. Mika Hughes, Daniel Harris, they're very, very dear friends of mine.
That's wonderful. Well, I tell you, it's great to hear the things you've done in your life since then, because unfortunately you hear names like, of course, this was after you, but Macaulay Culkin and all the stuff he had to go through. And then, of course, we still have our fun friend that came to Houston Film Fest and did a concert for us.
Corey Feldman.
And he was really actually really nice, but it was a lot of drama. But, I mean, when you were at the convention, I thought, well, this is a real guy. Like, he's a real person. I can tell he's done a lot. And he's thoughtful.
Well, thank you. I mean, we're all real people. But it's... growing up with any amount of fame or notoriety as a child, whether you stayed in that business, if you lived in California and it was kind of a more common thing, maybe that's a different experience. I can only speak from my own experience, which was in New Jersey. It's a blessing and a curse in a lot of ways. You come back from something like that and you would think maybe that it would gain popularity amongst other people, but it doesn't really usually work that way. You end up kind of being outcast a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know. In my personal experience, it felt like there was a projection or an assumption of arrogance on me that I didn't feel I lived up to. But, you know, oh, look at this hotshot kid. Oh, you think you're a movie star? You know, that kind of thing. But it's different for everybody. You know, I didn't have the level of success that other child actors had. And sure. Imagine how...
Sorry, I think you froze a little there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't have quite that level of success as others. Difficult that would be.
Well, I know when Ginger Lynn, we interviewed with her a couple of episodes ago, she told us that she had an experience with another actress on a set that she was just like, oh, this porn star, I just don't even know why she's here, like really ugly with her about that, because that was her past, and that was what, 20 years or 15 years after that part of her life had been over. So I thought, well, I wondered if any of that kind of, then you're basically telling us, yes, that followed you as well.
In different ways, sure. I mean, it still does. I'm 42 years old now, and I still get some hints of that, those assumptions about experience. And it's all that accurate. But it's a difficult thing to really wrap your mind about. around, and it's a difficult thing to even express what it's actually like. And again, I'm not this isn't a woe is me situation. There's been plenty of some great experiences in my life because of it. It comes with challenges, sure.
That's an interesting concept. Yeah, just overall thinking about it, because I was just talking to my daughter earlier about something that I saw on TikTok. Someone was explaining on how people project their, you know, like they'll put you on a pedestal and then get mad that you're on that pedestal and then want to humble you and take you down off that pedestal. It's like, but it was all you. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all do that to an extent, like even just with our friends and our, we're always happy for people. We want them to be happy, but don't get too happy, because then we're like, what the fuck? What are you so happy about? You know?
Yeah.
I think we all do a little bit of that.
Absolutely.
My experiences really in this are not, they're not really all that unique from others. They're just a little hyper-powered. Mm. You know, it's just kicked up a notch.
I love that you're a writer, though. I wonder if that is the key component that changed how you dealt with these things and who you are now. Because especially as a poet, I know that for me, I don't know for you, more than likely it's the same. Poetry has always been the thing I needed to use, the medium I used to get out the things that were just felt too big inside of me and needed to get out in some way.
1,000,000%. You know, and I started writing, I mean, I have like lyrics and songs and poems that I wrote around the time I was making Chucky, like as a kid. Like, I started very early. By like 11 years old, I had like 4 albums worth of lyrics written that I thought I was gonna make into music at that time in my life. But then I just started doing books a little bit more. I still put out some sometimes, and I have recently. But yeah, of course, it's a release, it's expression. It's you know, whether I've been acting, writing screenplays, producing music, engineering music, it's all a form of art and expression. That's really why I opened up my recording studio. It's not always, you know, it's a small business trying to work with artists who generally don't have much money, but it's a passion project in a sense, where, because yeah, getting artists comfortable to express themselves as efficiently and thoroughly as possible is really important to me. And I think my background and writing has definitely led me to that life.
That's so great.
So when you're producing authors, when you're producing, not authors, artists, do you select, or do they come to you and say, I want to produce in your studio?
No. So, I mean, I've worked with singers, songwriters, rappers, female vocalists, male vocalists, bands, metal bands, authors that are reading audiobooks. I've done sound for film. I've done mixing for film. I've done scoring for film. I've done ADR for film. It's really whoever comes in. But, you know, I went to Full Sail School for Recording Arts. I graduated top of my class, and I'm a pretty good engineer. But I've learned over the years that where I really excel is, I think that besides my basic, you know, music knowledge, there's a something in the fact of being a lyricist myself and a poet myself. I kind of get to the heart and the meaning of the intention of a piece of music. So my ability to produce people kind of starts at the level of, what does this mean to you, and what exactly are you trying to say?
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And that's the approach of producing. You try to stay out of an artist's way, but you have to guide them a little bit. So it's kind of, it's a give and take, and it's a balance, and it's collaboration.
That's wonderful. Do you play any instruments?
I play piano, yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's fantastic. I have like really short fingers for that, so.
I do too. I
used to tell my husband that's why I couldn't learn guitar, but he proved me wrong. Now I play guitar all the time.
I think it's why I suck at basketball, but I'm an instrumentalist, sort of. I'm really more of a producer, lyricist, and I understand music theory enough to be helpful in that way. And I've made plenty of compositions myself. I just put out 2 tracks this past week, matter of fact.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're on my YouTube.
We definitely got to let all our listeners know how they can find all this stuff.
What genre of music?
Electronic based. I mean, anyone who knows anything about me knows some of my influences musically. It's mostly electronic, rock based music. Sure. A little bit of, you'll see that there's more coming too, but really honestly for me, I don't know that I'll ever rap on a song, but spoken word poetry is what I do, and it's marrying to that really ambition of mine that has proven challenging in life for me. But I'm starting to clear a path towards something more cohesive in that regard.
That's fun. Love it.
So do you, you're doing soundtracks for films also, you said?
I have done some of that. I've done some scoring. I make a lot of instrumental music in general, and sometimes I just kind of bank it and don't know when I'm going to use it for something. But then if I get something and it matches the vibe of what I'm going for, like that's happened. I've written pieces that I ended up putting in films. I do some of that. I do some, a mix of things musically.
And which do you enjoy more? I know they're all expressions, you know, these are all artistic ways for you to self-express, but do you find yourself enjoying music producing, songwriting, or poetry writing, or acting? Do you find yourself drawn to any one more than the other?
Absolutely. I mean, I enjoy all of it. I think any real poet would say that chose them, and they didn't choose it. So that I can't stop even if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes happens. I do want
to. Sometimes you want to. Oh gosh. I don't know about you, but I have stuff that it's like, why am I keeping this? But it's just like 2 words or like a sentence on it that I really liked, and I just don't want to get rid of the, like, most of it's all scratched out.
I have, I just started a difficult task of going through my notes section on my phone. I have, I'll give you an exact number.
Oh, you're scaring me. I know the feeling.
I have 698 notes to sort through right now.
Okay, and, I am not that bad.
And I don't feel so bad. In those are a series of thoughts, ideas, business ideas, film ideas, screenplay ideas, poetry, song lyrics, and they're just I'm very big on getting things out of my head when they come in. Anyone who you know, obviously life and work and everything makes it difficult at times to actually sit down and harness that energy when it comes. But I advise anyone to, if they can take a time out when that energy is there, use it, because it comes and goes. And when it's there, you know it's there. Mm-hmm. And even if it's just scratching down a couple words, a couple reminders, a couple outlines, something to come back to later, you got to know when it's the time to pull that out of yourself.
Yeah, I love it. I always tell myself, I won't forget this. And I'm like, fuck, I forgot that.
Of course you will. Of course you will. Yeah.
Why it's always
2024. We don't remember anything anymore.
And why does it always come right at bedtime for me? It's like, I just laid down. Now I got to get up and make a note to myself.
Yeah.
It's always when I'm driving.
Yeah. For me, it's also bedtime for sure. But it happens a lot when I first wake up, too. I don't know about you guys, but when I open my eye, I mean,
I dream a lot of stuff that and that gives me like some ideas. And
I don't sleep very late anymore. But once I open my eyes, that's it. My brain is already moving and I'm up. And whether it's should I have to do that day or something creative that feels like it's been stirring all night. Yeah, it's really hard to go back to sleep on thoughts like that.
And walking, or it's when I'm in the shower also, or when I'm like walking my dog or exercising, like I do row machines, doing something like that. Then it won't turn off. And so I'll start, if I can't get to my phone right then to make a note, then I'll just keep trying to rehearse it over and over and over again so that I can make a note as soon as I get out or stop.
Yeah, I say things out loud a lot. I made a joke recently about, I'm so happy that Bluetooth exists now because now strangers don't realize I'm talking to myself.
Exactly.
But as far as like artistic ideas, sometimes if I feel like it's starting to slip it and I can't get to something, I'll start saying it out loud. That helps me.
So I was going to ask you a crazy question. Have you ever been ghost hunting?
I have. I'm friends with some of the guys from Ghost Hunters. Steve in particular has always been a really good friend, good dude. And I went with him to Eastern State Penitentiary many years ago.
Wow.
And yeah, we did some ghost hunting there. I think a couple other times in my life too, but that was the biggest one I went to, yeah.
Was it really creepy in there?
Yeah. I mean... ghosts aside, it was just creepy in there.
And
real musty smell, and a lot of those cells were not ever
Look, when I go in places like that, I'm the first thing in my head is spiders. Where are the spiders? Because I don't want them getting on me.
Yeah.
I don't even care about the ghosts. I'm like, where are the spiders?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a really weird question too.
Go for it.
So, Chucky's a doll, right? did you have any, these are multiple parts. I'm getting somewhere here, but do you have any, a special affinity for dolls, or are you scared of dolls? You know, was there any correlation with the doll Chucky and how it's materialize in your life?
I have a couple answers. First, I grew up with a sister who was close to me in age, and she had dolls, and so did I as a kid. It was pretty common in the 80s especially. And I had Cabbage Patch dolls, and I found a picture of them recently, and they're both redheads. anyway, and that predated Chucky. No, but ironically, years after, my mother and my stepdad got into the business of selling dolls at like doll shows. They had Patty Playpal dolls and Shirley Temple dolls and these old, 40s, 50s vintage dolls. And they would go to doll shows. And so, yeah, they were actually porcelain and plastic dolls all over my house.
So you have dolls? You had dolls all over your house? Did they feel like they were following you? The eyes were following you?
No, luckily I know the difference.
Chantel has a collection of dolls. Like even on our display Sunday, we had a Houston Horror Film Festival event. We had a doll head on there from her collection, and it was freaking people out.
Well, that's her nature, right? Yeah. People freak out, especially if you put it at eye level.
It's part of the success of Chucky, which there's many, many factors of why it was successful. But one of them certainly is that it taps into that inherent fear of the inanimate coming to life to begin with. You didn't need to see Chucky to already have that. You know, to have an awareness of that fear, at least.
Do you own any Chucky dolls?
Yeah, I have several.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering. I would imagine, are you gifted them by people?
I am sometimes, yeah. I mean, I've done hundreds of conventions all over the place, and fans are great with bringing in fan art and stuff like that. And yeah, people have gifted me Chucky dolls. There was a time in my life when I was young where I never really had a good Chucky doll, and then it got to the point where I had too many. but I have a few. I have one from Cult of Chucky that's very, very cool, but I have a lot of other
fan ones. Do you have any of the ones that where he's in like, you know, the more human look, not just the doll look?
Yeah. I have a couple of good guys and I have a couple of Chuckies.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. You got what I was saying.
Yeah.
There's a distinction. You know, all right.
Which one? Question. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm about to go there. Buckle up. All right. So. Yeah. I was on Pornhub one day a few years ago.
Oh, look. You already know.
And
I don't know
where you're going with that one.
And, you know, sometimes I go down these rabbit holes that are like, oh, my God. Oh, what?
Don't ever let her talk you into a rabbit hole. I have seen stuff that I cannot unsee.
But then, you know, once I'm there, I can't stop watching. So I'm like this, like, I got to see what's going to happen next. And I ended up on these videos with people being intimate and being nice about how I'm saying it, being intimate with dolls. Did you know that was a thing?
You mean not sex dolls, but like,
right.
Like dolls. Yeah.
Right. Dolls. Yeah. Like there are the sex dolls things, and that's to be expected, but it was actual dolls that just kind of like, oh my goodness, what is happening, you know?
Well, listen, it seems like there's a category for everybody.
Yes.
I can't imagine, you've probably had some crazy fans.
I'm sorry, you guys froze for a second.
Oh, I said, I can't imagine you've probably had crazy fans that had some of those ideas, I'm sure.
Well, listen, we all get crazy messages from people.
I know.
When you have any level of...
Uh-oh, he's going out.
Sorry, your internet's going out.
Oh, yeah.
Mine is.
What were you saying?
Sure, I get plenty of crazy messages, but then again, so do you too.
We ignore them. Like, we just do.
Do I know?
I was happy though when the law finally passed about not sending random penis pics to people. That was nice.
Is there officially a law about it? That's good.
That's here in Texas.
Oh, in Texas. Okay. I didn't realize it wasn't everywhere. Oh wow. Okay.
Well, it should be a law everywhere.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I know that. Like with some of the, like say, rock bands, for instance, if they wear masks, then people have this thing about wanting to see that, wanting to have sex with them with the mask on. Do people come to you like they want to be with you with the Chucky doll?
I don't think people would get very far with me with that kind of.
I would hope not.
No.
For a more serious question then. I noticed that Devin Sawa, am I pronouncing his last name correctly?
Yeah.
Okay, he plays in the Chucky TV show. I first remember seeing him on Final Destination in 2000. And it makes me wonder, since there's so many things coming out that, you know, it's been years since we first saw. Now, I know there's going to be another Final Destination movie. Number 6 is coming soon, Chantel. I don't know if you know that. But Final Destination 6 is coming out. But I wonder if they're going to do a TV show, because they, you know, there's a lot of movies that are becoming TV shows now because of streaming. And I would love to see that. This is one I would love to see, because Final Destination is, I love the franchise, but also because we had Jeffrey Reddick on here before, and he was a great guest too. But Is that something, is there any show, any movies like that, that you think would come back as a TV series like Chucky did?
Well, it is becoming kind of a common thing.
Mm-hmm. Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah, anything that they can breathe new life into these days. Recycle. It seems that they will, especially if it's something that has a strong following. I did see some of that Interview with the Vampire TV series. I didn't love it.
No, it's nothing like the movies and or the book.
No, actually. And I love the movies and I read all the books. So yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever get to meet Anne?
I did not. No.
I never got to meet her, but she used to, like, because I knew people who lived in New Orleans, and you could have gone to her party. Like, she wasn't exclusive about, like, you had to have an invite, come with somebody, but, you know, anybody could have, you know, gone with somebody that knew her.
Amazing. I've been in like eight or 10 countries, maybe more. I've been in most states in the country, like probably 45 of them. And I've never been to New Orleans.
Really? Oh,
I know. It's so fitting for me too. I really should be.
Yeah.
There. Yeah.
I've heard it's a bit different now. I've heard that since Katrina, because New Orleans lost a lot of people that were born and raised there because of Katrina. They were all pushed into all the other states around them. And I've heard it's very different now than it used to be. And I probably went about 7-8 years ago and stayed at the Magnolia Hotel. It was great. I loved that area. I didn't see any big difference then, but apparently things have really shifted and stuff since then.
I'll get there someday.
I usually go about once a year. I haven't really noticed much.
No?
Yeah, I go there for the food and the vibe.
We need to do an event there. I love New Orleans.
Yeah, amazingly, there's never really been a successful horror convention there.
Really?
Yeah.
I know the music stuff goes well there.
Of course.
Yeah,
but you would think, you know, I don't know, isn't there like a kind of a voodoo theme in some things in New Orleans? Like, I feel like Chucky would, you know.
Well, vampires, right? Even before Anne Rice, there was, you know, people just, it's one of the oldest places, you know, in our country that had a port and, you know, had so many people, you know, come from Europe through there and.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty.
And great artists have been through there.
Oh, amazing. They're incredible. I actually have pieces of art from people that were, you know, just artists living on the street painting, and I would buy stuff and just, I loved it. It's one of those places that you just get a feeling in your bones. Like I guess I'm talking like a poet right now, because you ever get in a place where you're just like, you feel that muse is just like, it just is engulfing you. And I feel it there when I go there.
1,000,000%. Yeah. That's kind of at the heart of my surprise that I've never been there. Exactly that. You know.
Yeah. I really want to go to Charlotte too.
I've been to Amsterdam 16 times though.
Oh, well, I can imagine.
I only mention that because I get that feeling there a lot. I feel very, very creative while I'm there. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned Devin, but I should have mentioned Jennifer too. So what is it like, you know, reuniting and working with people? Who are your favorite people to work with? Great stories of working with anybody in particular?
Yeah, I mean, in general, first of all, some of these Chucky family members, and we call ourselves Chucky family, because it goes back decades.
Yes.
Catherine Hicks, Christina Lise, Chris Sarandon, Don Mancini. These are people that were part of my childhood. Friends, mentors in some cases, and people that always meant a lot to me, even during all that break. So when I came back to it and we had the opportunity to work together again, from a creative standpoint, that's incredibly rewarding. But the real reward is our opportunity to go out to dinners and stuff and come back and have that friendship in a world where we can relate. And that extends to, the kids on the show now, and Fiona and Jennifer and you know, Bride of Chucky came out when I was in high school, and I was still a little butthurt that I wasn't in it anymore, obviously. But I rooted for that one. Three, I was still 10 years old and disappointed. But Bride of Chucky, I rooted for it because I love Jennifer Tilly. And I always loved Don and had such great memories of him. So I was excited the first time I even got to meet her, you know, because she picked up a mantle, so to speak, with such a impactful character in that story. So even meeting her around the promotion of Cult of Chucky in 2013 was awesome. And now a decade later, and you know, we're dear friends, we've had a lot of great times out together and conversations, and she's such a kind, incredibly generous person, generous with her time, I mean, and just like have a that take long. She's very, very sweet.
Well, she seems like she would be. I hope to meet her one day.
She's brilliant too.
What about your upcoming projects? Alex, tell us what you got coming up. What do you want to promote? Anything that you want people to see or listen to, or, you know, anything?
Sure. Well, my recording studio is theloopstudios.com in Clearwater. So we're always working on different things there creatively, but also just bringing in artists that are interested in working. I will say I have several engineers that work for me there, so don't just come if you're a Chucky fan. Because that might not go too well. But so my recording studio is there. I'm just actually opened up a I redesignated the second part of my studio as just a permanent podcast space. So there's going to be more coming out from that. Instagram really has everything for me. So if you go to my Instagram, go to the link in my bio, it'll lead you to everything that I've done, the multiple podcasts, my books that anyone can certainly purchase. My appearances are listed on there. I have several coming up. I'll be in San Antonio at the end of March, and then like one a month for a while, and then September and October are completely booked. So yeah, I try to get out and about and let people know where I'm going to be, and all that stuff can be found on Instagram.
Any chance you'll come back to the Houston Horror Film Festival?
Very good chance. I don't think this year. I was just there last year. Usually you take a year off. Love Tony. Love that show. Really had a great time.
Next time, I'm bringing my guitar, we can make some music.
All right, it sounds good. I see it right next to you.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll be back there. I don't think this year, but I will be there again. Sure, of course. I always have fun when I come to Texas, too.
Yeah.
You said you're going to San Antonio. What's happening there?
It's called Friends to the End Part 2. We did an event there. We did an event there last year with me and Christine and Danielle Pasuti and Edon Gross. And this year we're doing another event there at the end of March. I've been to San Antonio many times in my life. I love it there, actually.
I'm going to have to look that up. I might have to come get another signature.
All right. Sounds good.
Do you produce movies or your own TV shows also? I know you produce movies, but I mean music, but any video productions?
Well, we've shot music videos at my studio for different artists, yeah. And the podcast that I did called The Final Note was a little bit more like a late night. So we had interviews with different horror guests. We'd bullshit and talk. And then I'd have musical guests on the show. We made videos for all that. I've done studio production in my life, yes, but
feature films.
I wrote and acted in a film back in like 2011. But no, honestly, with all my ideas of screenwriting, finding, I'm not really a great person at finding investors for things like that. It's a very difficult world. And yeah, where I think I'm a good producer in terms of pulling the best out of artists, I'm not exactly the best businessman, I guess. That's okay.
You know what? And how much would it take? Okay, like, let's just say, for instance, there is a show that you really loved and it was canceled and you want to bring it back. Like, how much would it take to actually give to someone to actually bring that back? I've been curious about that.
That's just such a, there's so many variables. That's impossible to answer just because there's, it all depends. I mean, you can produce content these days affordably, but it's all relative, you know. It all depends. I mean, I face that even with music videos. You know, sometimes an artist will come in and they want you to shoot a music video, and they're like, "Yeah, I want to go shoot it at the beach in this mansion, and then we'll go to the club, and then we'll." It's like, okay, you know, we have a whole crew. We're gonna have to go to multiple locations. It's not shit gets expensive quick in film production.
I see.
So it really all depends projects.
You have any aspirations of being on live stage, like for a play or anything like that?
No, not so much. I wouldn't entirely rule it out, but not really. Like when I was a kid, I did a little bit of theater, and it wasn't exactly my jam.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm probably too nervous for it. That's really what it comes down to. That's a whole different type of, I don't know. I have a voice. I'm not big at projecting.
Yeah, you seem to be very mild-mannered. Would we have to get you liquored up to really see the bad side of Alex?
Next Houston Horror Film Fest.
Okay. We saw the bow. Like, I remember going to the party. Now, that was the first time I'd had my daughter with me. And so it was a very different experience for me because I'm usually dicey, not DeVita, when I'm doing my dicey thing, you know, my spicy dicey thing. And I've realized that being in mommy mode is just completely different. Like it was hard to shut off. Like, I can't just be spicy dicey because I'm mom too, which was very different. So I found myself, you know, very, very tempered, very chill, which it's not really how I get down. But I haven't been drinking lately either, so.
I haven't been drinking much lately either. I have I was not much of a wine drinker, and I had like a glass of wine at night to just chill out. But hey, anyone who's come and seen me at conventions for years, they've seen me plenty drunk and having plenty of fun. I'm not exactly, it depends. The past couple years have been a little different, but I've been doing these shows for a long time, and I, you know, traveling to a different city and you're meeting fun. I'm not generally the type that signs my autographs and then sit. I did that for a long, long time. So I cut loose sometimes. Don't worry about that. It'll happen again.
I'm sure you do. Chantelle, I feel like I'm talking too much again.
Oh no, you guys are fine. I'm just enjoying the conversation. If you give the mic to me, we're gonna be talking about, you know, writing. Because I'm like, you know, it's great to have somebody on that is a writer. Like, I don't know how to explain what I'm trying to say. Like, you're a writer, obviously, Dicey, but when you're a poet, words are just different to you. And so it's hard to, I don't get a lot of people on the show that know that, because we really do just mostly, you know, authors that are like, I mean, I write books as well, but words are very strong. And I think a lot about my choice of words. And I think it does help in my storytelling too, But do you think that that's part of your world? Do you really find yourself kind of letting your wheels turn about the words you say? You think that's part of that hesitation that people pick up on?
I'm deliberate with my words, sure. I mean, I also, you know, I mean, in fairness, these days, as much as nobody wants their voice to be silenced by fear of misinterpretations, it's really common these days. So I am just a little cautious with not giving people the opportunity to misunderstand. It really ties into poetry, because when you speak poetically for years and years and years, then all of a sudden people think everything you say is coded language, and it's fucking not.
It isn't.
And so that's complicated. It's complicated.
Yeah, it's really funny. I feel that. I think I was probably speaking like that when I was very young and not realizing why. And you know, I started writing when I was like probably 12. That's when but I was very, I wasn't illiterate, but I felt very challenged. Like I was considered dyslexic, you know, mm-hmm. like in elementary school. So I was very kind of in myself over my communication with others because of that. And so I think that's why I probably, you know, gravitated towards writing poetry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm also just in this transitional phase in my life right now anyway. So I'm a little more reserved and cautious, because I think I spent a lot of years kind of just letting it fly and assuming that people could understand my intentions, and as opposed to, because I'm also a wise ass from New Jersey, and I make a lot of jokes, and I'm sarcastic, and I bust a lot of chops, and lately I found that some people feel challenged by the things that I say when they don't get what I'm trying to say, so.
Yeah, they take it the wrong way. I can understand that. I think Dicey and I both have that situation, because we're both headstrong women. And I thank God. Mm-hmm. Thank God we're both like that. You would think we would challenge each other a lot, but we don't, because I understand where she's coming from and she understands where I'm coming from. So I don't ever get offended. You know what I mean? I'm like, I feel where she is. Like, okay, it's cool. But yeah, it's true. People do. I mean, you know what we're saying, D. You know, people do that. They take everything you're saying wrong. You're like, no, that's not at all what I'm trying to say. Yeah, I get that.
Oh, I mean, it all depends. First of all, yeah, like if you two found me at a bar and we were just talking or something, you'd find a different person. But yeah, part of that it comes from 35 years of being looked at.
Yeah, I get it. Being perceived. I'm going through it in a big way right now with my husband running for public office. You know, I feel like there's a silencer on me and I got to be careful on everything. And I haven't been. Like, fuck it.
She has.
Yeah.
Trust me. Listen to our Gingerland episode.
But
life is balance.
YOLO.
YOLO. Better you than me.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Alex. This has been a wonderful conversation. Where can people find you on the socials? And I think I gave your pages, your Patreon and YouTube, but I mean your AlexVincentOnline.com. Anything you want to let people follow you at or anything, let them know.
Sure. AlexVincentOnline.com is my website. TheLoopStudios.com is my studio. Alex_Vincent on Patreon and Instagram.
Awesome. And I hope to get to see you again sometime.
Me too. I'm sure we will.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Thank you. Bye.